I sang too many songs, I'm losing my voice. Actually, the passage that Keith read a moment ago only introduces our text. Our text is found in Luke chapter 8, beginning with verse 26. And if you'll go ahead and keep your testaments open there, we'll be making several readings. Luke 8, verse 26 and following. In this story, we're going to find a man who needed Jesus in the worst way. And when he found him and encountered him and then left him, he left in the best way. We're going to find a story that exemplifies what Satan will do, and a story that exemplifies what Jesus can do. We're going to find a degree of sadness that only comes from a soul who is without Jesus, and a degree of sadness, a degree of happiness for a soul who finds him. Let's look at this story. Then Jesus and the disciples sailed to the country of the Gadarenes. Let's stop right there for just a moment. Mark's account of the gospel tells us that this encounter on the shores of the Gadarenes took place the morning after Jesus stilled the storm. These hardened fishermen, these sailors, came to Jesus at night saying, "Master, carest thou not that we perish? How canst thou lie asleep?" It was that very night. Now they've come to the area of the Gadarenes, across on the other side of Galilee. And when Jesus stepped on the land, there met him a certain man of the city who had been possessed by demons. Now notice this, for a long time. Can you imagine? You're frightened because of the night before, and the first person you encounter is a demon-possessed man. Brethren, this story is the classic example of the power of sin in a person's life. It is a classic example of the power of Satan in a person's life. And notice verse 27, the man wore no clothes. He didn't sleep in a house. Rather, he lived in the tombs. Brethren, when we consider this man's situation, we see how sin can destroy a life. He didn't even have a comfortable, warm home in which to live. Rather, he lived in the cemetery. I heard a preacher one time say it this way. He went from the front yard to the graveyard. And that's what sin can do. And that's what sin can do. Sin can take the innocent and make them guilty. He can take the pure and make them impure. He can take the clean and make them filthy. He can take the moral and make them immoral. He can take the decent and make them indecent. He can take the good and make them bad. That's what sin can do. And regardless of the picture of the glorification of sin that our world gives, it's not that way. Sin will beat us down until it has broken us in two. That's the true picture of sin. Sin will never lift a person up, but Jesus will. Jesus can lift us up. Reading on. Now this would be the unclean spirit. The man couldn't even speak for himself. The unclean spirit is speaking through the man. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded that the unclean spirit come out of the man. Again, sin had beaten this man down. It had broken him completely in two. It was Satan. Satan had beaten this man down. He had broken him. Couldn't even speak for himself. The demons are speaking through this man. Rather than sin is powerful. Sin is mighty, but Jesus is more powerful and more mighty. Jesus commanded the demons to come out of the man. Jesus set the man free from the power of sin and Satan. Jesus could do for him what no one else could do. Sin is powerful. Jesus is more powerful. Sin is strong. Jesus is stronger. Satan can lower a person's life. He can beat us down until he breaks us in half. But Jesus can lift us up. Now, I wish I had the history of this man. Really, all we learn is from that little phrase, he had this demon for a long time. I wish I had a history of this man. But regardless, I think this story gives us a chance to make some very personal observations. Not looking at anyone in particular, but it allows us to make some personal observations. No doubt there might be people in our audience right here that are dissatisfied with their relationship with Jesus. Maybe not, maybe so. There may be people here today that have never truly accepted what Jesus means when he says, come and follow me. Maybe not, but maybe so. There might be people who have never, what we call, rendered obedience to the clarion call of Jesus to come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Maybe so, maybe not. But they might be here. And they might be me. Or it might be you. Maybe you need to find Jesus in the worst of ways. Maybe you have seen the power of sin and Satan in your life. Maybe even as we speak, he is lowering your life and beating you down, wanting to break you in two. Maybe you have seen the sadness of a life that does not have a relationship with the Lord that the Bible says we need to have. Maybe you personally feel the sting of sin. Jesus can lift you up. Oh, that sounds so simple, doesn't it? We're down, we're out, we're broken. And it's true. And it's simple. Jesus can lift us up. If sin is powerful, Jesus is more powerful. If sin is strong, Jesus is stronger. Jesus can do for us what no one else can do. Satan is powerful. Jesus is more powerful. Satan himself will bow at the name of Jesus someday. Jesus is the one that can lift us up. He's the only one that can lift us up. So Jesus heals the man. And he cast these demons into a herd of swine. We're down to verse 34. When those who fed the swine saw what happened, they fled and told the people of the city and in the country. Then they, I'm assuming this is the owners of the swine, I'm assuming that. Then they went out to see what happened and came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at his feet, clothed in his right mind. You would think they would be happy, happy, happy. Now they can have a funeral in the cemetery without any problems whatsoever. You would really think they're glad that Jesus now has cast these demons out of this man. But no, according to Mark's account of this story, they asked Jesus if he would leave. And maybe it's just coincidental, but the rest of Jesus' life, it never mentions in the gospel account that he ever went to that town ever again. Verse 38, Now the man from whom the demons had departed begged Jesus that he might go with him. But Jesus sent him away saying, return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you. And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city the things that Jesus had done for him. Instead of allowing the man to sit at Jesus' feet or to continue to sit at Jesus' feet, Jesus sent him away. He sent him to his people. He sent him to his town. Instead of letting the man stay there with Jesus and become one of those disciples who travel with Jesus, no, he sent him away. He sent him to his hometown. He sent him to tell people he knew what God had done for him. To tell people who cared about him what Jesus had done for him. Instead of letting him sit at his feet, he commissioned him to go to the world. That's what Jesus needed. A voice to proclaim his message. When we come to Jesus and he changes our life, he gives us a job to do. We're to go and tell the world how much God loves us, how much God loves them, and how God not only can but desires to save their souls. Now, admittedly, God could have commissioned angels. The word angel means a messenger. He could have commissioned angels to carry the gospel message, but instead, he called upon us. And if it's being carried today, we are the ones that carry it. And if it's not being carried, it's because we are not carrying it. Seldom do I tell sad stories in my sermons. I don't really like to do that. I don't really think the audience likes it either, but I need to tell a sad story today. Once upon a time, there was a lifeguard seminar held out in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And lifeguards from all over the country, even some from some foreign countries, came to Florida to learn from the best lifeguards there were more life-saving techniques. And for a whole week, they studied these life-saving techniques. And on awards night, when everybody was to receive a reward and they were going to pat each other on the back, the lights in the pool were off and everyone was sitting around the shallow end. And when they turned the lights on, there was a man who evidently had slipped, must have hit his head. He was drowned. And they did everything they possibly could, but he was dead. They didn't even realize he was there, but he was dead. While they're giving awards for being outstanding lifeguards, a man drowned. Which causes me to wonder, how many people in our lives are drowning in despair and we don't even realize it? How many are hurt and being beaten down by sin, and we don't even realize it? You know, we in Christ have so much to celebrate. He died to secure our sins, but we need to carry that message to the world. As the old song says, we're to rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is wonderful. Jesus can save. And often right around us, people are perishing and we're too busy patting ourselves on the back because we're living a Christian life. And we never realize their need. My friend, the message today has one point. If sin has a grip on your life, if sin is beating you down, if Satan is beating you down and you feel that you are about to break, Jesus can lift you up. Jesus can transform your soul. It's like Jesus can stand us up, dust us off, and send us on our Christian way. He can transform us. He can deliver us from the grip of sin and Satan and give us his loving arms of love and peace and hope and a new direction. And the best thing about it is it can start right now. So if it's you that the message is called, if it's you that feel compelled to come to the Lord, if it's you, then the invitation is also for you. And to make it convenient for you, we'll sing a song and we'll stand and we'll either even come down with you if you need to. But Mike will be here to greet you. If you need to come to Jesus, won't you do so as we stand and sing this song?